And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
From New York City, it's the Todd Berry Podcast. The Todd Berry Podcast.
Hey, welcome to episode 3 of the Todd Berry Podcast. Today we're featuring our first non-stand-up comedian, yet still funny guest, Julianne Smolinski. You may know her as Boobs Radley on Twitter. But she is involved in other projects as well, which you'll hear about now. Thank you for listening in advance. Thank you in advance for listening. That's what I meant to say. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Todd Berry Podcast. I don't know which episode this is because, you know, I'm going to stack them all up, see how they come out. You didn't need to hear that. Today, my guest is Julianne Smolinski. You may know her as Boobs Radley on Twitter, but there's more to her than that. But that is all we're going to talk about. We're not going to focus on anything else she's done or accomplished or will accomplish. It's just Twitter, 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 because that's all she wants to talk about. I'm joking. Welcome, Julianne.
Hi, Todd. How's it going?
Good. Now, I noticed you postponed our interview by an hour. I was just wondering what happened in that hour.
The trains were running late today, and I planned in advance. I gave myself extra time to for the train and tea because I hate being late. I really wanted to be punctual, so I asked for an extra hour.
The trains are running late?
Yes.
That is my favorite excuse for people.
It's the best excuse.
People use that one all the time. The F train was running late. The F train was running late. What if he got to the F train earlier? Would it be running late?
That's
exactly
true.
No, I'm just ripping you
apart.
That's
the best part about having moved from Ohio to New York, because we don't have trains there, so we don't have that excuse. If you're late, you're just late. You can't hide behind anything.
That's true. Mm-hmm. You can say traffic, though, right?
You can say traffic.
You can say the...
Traffic was a bear.
What city in Ohio was it?
Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I like Cleveland.
Yeah.
Cleveland's one of those cities that people make fun of, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I mean, it's kind of lame, too.
Yeah, it's not that good. But I mean...
It's nice of you.
What I mean, it was better than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Well,
no, it's
good.
It's fun.
That's actually when you drive in. It's like, it's better than you think it's going to be. That's our problem.
Yeah. It's not bad. How long did you live there?
I grew up there, and then I went to school in New England, and then I lived in L.A. for a little bit, and then I moved here. And L.A. is the traffic thing, too, I guess. I just basically... live wherever I can.
Oh, I've already forgotten about the hour.
Really?
Yeah. I was half. You told me you were going to be late. So.
I'm glad. You seem to have let it go.
Yeah, I let it go.
I mean,
believe me.
I'm sorry about that.
If I didn't want to let it go, it would not be let go, and it would be an hour. It would be an hour talking about the hour.
That would make a great podcast, actually.
Where were you today? You have a job.
I have several jobs.
Let's hear them.
I work for the Today Show. I got up extra early this morning because, I recap RuPaul's Drag Race for Logo. And I also had a couple of deadlines. I finished a little column thing for GQ today. So that was everything I had to get done before.
What did you write for GQ?
I wrote, they're doing a penis issue.
Uh-huh.
they wanted me to write like a do and don't guide to pubic hair.
Really?
My parents are really proud of me.
Do they have to know about it? Why don't you just not tell them? What are the chances
my
your parents? Do they read GQ?
My dad's really cool.
Your dad was like really, he wore skinny ties before anyone else did.
My dad was really cool. I try to kind of hide that sort of stuff from them, but the problem is like my siblings are both on Facebook. Or all of them are on Facebook. So if I post something there, if somebody is like, I like this thing you wrote on my wall, then it gets back to them. And I hear about it at holidays.
So they don't Google search you, though?
Hopefully not. That would be kind of weird.
So is this for GQ Online or for the magazine proper?
It's for the magazine.
Nice.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Now, what do you do for the Today Show?
I work with Kathy Lee and Hoda for the Fourth Hour.
The Fourth Hour? That's a four-hour show?
It is a four-hour show. I know. It feels much longer, but it's 4 hours.
Is it really?
Yeah.
The Today Show's four?
Yeah, it starts at 7.
Like, even when I have to wake up that early for whatever, to catch a flight, I never, almost never turn on those shows.
On until 11. I mean, like, even if you slept in reasonably late.
But do you think, like, I'm going to get up at, let's say, 10:15?
No.
You think I'm going to, like, run out of bed and say, let me grab the last 45 minutes of the Today Show? Nothing against the Today Show.
Hoda happened. What happened with Hoda's weekend?
I don't even know. Who's Hoda?
Hoda Kotb.
Who is that? I seriously don't know who that is.
She co-hosts the Fourth Hour of the Today Show with Kathy Lee Gifford.
So she gets the breeze in it?
No. Well, I think that they get there probably at like 6 or 7. In the
so you write for them?
Yeah.
How, what time do you have to get there?
I usually don't go in. I usually work remotely, which is
really
nice. Yeah, it's really great. But occasionally I go in and then it's fun. But, you know, it's a really cool crowd of people.
That's so great. You can work at home.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's the only good part about being freelance. Really.
What time is like Kathy Lee have to get up? Like 2 a.m. or something?
They get up. She gets really early. She lives in Connecticut, so probably like 3 or 4 a.m. Yeah.
That's nuts. Do you like that job? Of course you do.
No, it's a great job.
You're on the Todd Berry podcast. You're not going to say you don't like your job, and then millions and millions of people hear how you don't like it.
Oh,
that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't keep saying now before every question. Let's get right into that.
Okay.
People, you're one of those people, I hate to talk about this, but you're one of those people who got a lot of notoriety from being on Twitter, right?
Yeah, probably specifically from Todd Berry retweets.
No.
No, not at all. It's one of those things that you can't really tell which direction it's going from anymore, whether, like, I'm getting followers because of stuff that I'm writing, or whether I'm getting writing jobs because followers, but I don't know. It's been fun, and it's definitely helped me get some of my jobs.
What was like the was there like a breakthrough? Like, did someone retweet?
Yeah, Ebert actually.
Ebert.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, which is super sad.
Yeah,
and I actually was like, you know, this is the first time I've said that to anybody, because when everybody was like telling their Ebert stories, I thought mine was pretty magical. Like, Ebert retweeted me once. I got a lot of followers because of it, but...
So how did he just was poking around and found you?
I guess. It was like a joke I made about like French New Wave movies, and maybe he just has like a Google alert set up for French New Wave jokes.
And did that was an exponential sort of launch?
Oh, yeah, like 3,000 followers.
Wow.
Yeah, like one day.
I have an Ebert story I don't think I've ever told out loud. It's not really an Ebert story, but it is. I went to Sundance in 2000, and I went to a screening of a documentary. And he walks in, like, with his pad, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm actually seeing the movie guy doing his job.
That's pretty
which
cool.
is watching a movie.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't talk to him. I left him alone. Didn't tweet
nice.
About this Ebert
work.
Story. Got just kind of kept it to myself.
What was the movie?
It was a movie. It was something about Vietnam. I would remember it if I looked up Vietnam documentaries.
Oh,
it was good. And I don't remember.
That's how
it
I was
really...
going to spend my afternoon anyway.
You're at Sundance.
No, why not?
There were no parties. I think it was a daytime screening. There was probably not a lot of parties to go to.
Oh, well, it was just before. Well, plus it's a documentary about Vietnam. I feel like there's something sort of weird about like getting wasted in a jacuzzi.
Yeah, you don't want to be like slamming a margarita.
Or maybe you do. I don't know.
Maybe you need
one. I don't know how you relax.
Do you? So that was a big. So that must have been thrilling, right?
Yeah, it was really thrilling. You know, I was really, really excited about that one. That was pretty cool. And then, you know, it just kind of snowballs from there. And, you know, I think I joined in 2009, so like 4 years.
Do you remember how many followers you had before Roger Ebert retweeted you?
Oh, probably like 1,000.
1,000?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's crazy. No, that's cool. That's a good story. I like that.
Thanks, man.
Do you read all people who reply to you?
I do.
You do?
I really do. I mean, not if it's like, if it's been a thing to where I haven't been on Twitter for a day, I won't like go back super deep, but I will pretty much reply or respond to everybody.
You do respond to everyone?
Well, I mean, it depends.
I wonder if is that a good way to get followers, or is that just a good way to...
You know, I used to be really kind of aloof because I thought that there was like a magic in that and like not talking to people.
I hope there is because that's the way I.
That's the way you conduct yourself.
I wasn't going to say that's the way I roll, but I almost said it.
I'm glad that. No, that's I respond to most people, especially if it's like a compliment. But I mean, the people that I don't respond to are the typo people or the people who, just respond with something really banal. Like they didn't know that it was a joke.
Oh yeah. I get that. I get that all the time. I did one. Well, I've done, this has happened a lot. I did one recently where I said, that Justin Timberlake and, Jay-Z are going on a stadium tour. And I said, it's kind of sad that their careers must not be going well if it takes two of them to fill a stadium.
Oh my god.
Some people are like, what? They're very successful. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I know that Jay-Z and Justin Timberlake are
very successful. Yeah,
I actually
are
know that.
Minds.
Just,
I love that.
It's just, it's almost not worth it to do. I mean, sometimes I just get so, like, shocked. And then you'll click on a profile that says, I'm really into sarcasm and satire.
Yeah.
Are you?
Are you? Oh, mine are all, like, burrito enthusiasts. I'm like, thanks for correcting my spelling, burrito enthusiast.
But I gotta say, making a spelling error in a tweet.
Well, it's not.
It puts me in a bad mood for about 4 days.
Yeah, it's terrible. Do you, this is a question I always ask people. If you have a typographical error in a tweet, do you retweet it?
I used to be like, oh gosh, I missed a chance to fix that one.
Yeah.
And then I realized, who cares, right?
No one cares.
Right? Fix it.
Go back and do it.
Tweet it again.
Yeah.
And then,
damn,
do we delete the other one though?
I delete the other one.
Yeah.
I mean, I go back and delete old tweets that I don't like.
Yeah, so. I do too. So you're right back to most people.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But the thing is about those typo people is that they, I want to kill them, but then I'm like, I'm kind of glad you pointed that out.
Yeah.
But it's just the joy, and it's like the people who do the your.
Yeah.
Like, it's you. Like, you know, everyone makes that mistake.
Yeah, everybody does.
You just a little typo, you're not thinking.
Especially process. If you're on your phone. Or,
yeah, it's not like you don't know the difference. But people say so much joy, and like, it's your with an apostrophe, and so I'm so smart.
Yeah.
You're not that smart.
Not at all.
What about blocking? Do you block people?
Yeah, and I never used to because I thought that that was. That was just like a taking any kind of action at all was a bad thing. But now I have no problem with blocking people at all.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. Like I some people you just are just so mean that you just like, oh, I because I'll always tell people when I do my Twitter seminars, I go, don't block people because you're engaging them on it. It's better that they think you never saw
me too,
it.
Yeah.
But then some people are just such assholes that you're
They're
like
huge assholes.
That you just gotta. And then you block them. I go, why am I telling people not to block people? I feel great now.
The thing that I don't understand, and I get this less because I'm not, I'm not a big, huge, famous celebrity. But the thing that I don't get is when someone will say something negative, like, you know, didn't like Justin Timberlake's new, and they'll use their name.
So right, the app.
Know they're gonna
right.
see it. It just seems like the meanest thing in the whole world to do. And, you know, if they're, I'm sure that certain people don't look at their replies, but even just to include somebody in that, like, that's the thing.
I mean, Justin Bieber's probably not going to see it, but someone on a small, less famous than Justin, it's just like you're just being, but it's so easy to do now that I could just see if you're kind of not a good person. You'd be like,
really,
why when I do this, he's not going to track me down.
This is a weird opportunity to hurt feelings, and
I know.
Have you ever
been called out for unfollowing someone?
Yes. Well, there's that software that tells you if you've been unfollowed. And I don't know if you know, I won't say his name, but I have a friend who's also a Twitter person, and he'll urgently G-chat me when someone has unfollowed him. I mean, and it's kind of, I feel like that's a lot more stress than the actual.
Yeah, even I, as much as I will sometimes, I'm less caught up in like Google searching myself, but even though I will don't want that unfollow software.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's like,
but like the not knowing is bad, I guess. Like sometimes, like if there's somebody, like I won't want to click on like Timothy Hutton's Twitter page because I'm like, what if he unfollowed me? I don't want to know about that.
That was your way of letting us know that Timothy Hutton follows you.
Well, I was trying to go with like
That
was a colossal name drop. He's one of those people who follows everybody.
Does he?
Like,
note to self. Hey, Timothy Hutton. I heard you follow anyone.
You follow anyone. I'm sorry, Timothy Hutton. Please don't unfollow me now.
Yeah, no, I've done that too, where you go, you kind of nervously click.
Yeah.
And I've had a couple of people, maybe at least one person, unfollow me, and you're kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
But then I kind of go, they're timed I'm annoying on
yeah.
it. So, I mean, I could see why someone would not want, or maybe I was promoting a tour and I was really.
Yeah. How often, how many times a day do you tweet usually?
I try to, you know, some days it'll be nothing or zero times, nothing times. I call those the nothing times, but it'll be like zero times. Mm-hmm. And then there's sometimes where I'm like maybe 10 times. And sometimes I get on this little, like, sometimes I like to hit one joke for like at five different angles.
Yeah.
Which might be when people unfollow
like hashtag
me.
Games
yeah.
Or something.
But I mean, some people, you're not an over-tweeter. I notice that. And you have a high level of quality.
Oh, thank you very much.
No, like, you're like, okay, I always want to see her tweets.
Okay.
But some people, you're just like, and I won't mention names until this mic goes off. But there's some people where you're like, you don't have to be in my feed every time I log on.
Yeah.
Make me miss you a little bit. Like,
play games with me a little bit.
It's just kind of, it just comes across as like,
too needy.
Like, yeah, a little life or death.
Well, I love all of those weird Twitter people, but sometimes that's kind of the thing that I can't take with them, where it's like five things in rapid succession, and it's just too much.
What is, like, I didn't know, like, I read some of that, and it's like, what is weird about? Yeah, what's weird about, no, what was so weird about those people? And I'm not saying they're not funny, I just don't know what's, it seems like if you're defining something as weird.
As weird Twitter?
It's not weird anymore.
Yeah, it's officially lost its weird luster. Yeah, I don't know. But
it's not like me. I'm the real deal.
No.
I'm really weird.
But those people all tend to be like really super prolific tweeters where it's like 20 a day. So that's...
Yeah,
Because I think it's like whenever you have a thought, you just write it down.
Because there's people that have unfollowed.
Oh,
that's what?
I was going to say, that's what drafts folders are for. You know, you got to save it.
Yeah.
Parcel it out.
There's not a drafts folder on the...
The
desktop version, is there?
There's not, just on the phone.
I wish there was, you know, I got obsessed with trying to find out a way to mute. There used to be this webpage called Brizzly, which was a way of looking at your Twitter it was desktop client, and you could just mute someone, and they wouldn't unfollow them, and they wouldn't know you.
That would be awesome.
But then they went under.
Yeah.
Then there's different, like, Chrome extensions, but they're a little unreliable.
Yeah, the one that I used no longer works, and now, like, I get to see... I had it set up so I had like lists, and I never had to see retweets either, because that was kind of a thing.
Oh, those, yeah.
Which I love retweets. Some people use them very elegantly, like Joe Mandy.
I tweeted about his retweets today.
I saw that. He's one of the people who does it really well, so I would hate to miss Joe Mandy doing that. But then there are people who I don't follow them, and I don't necessarily want them in my feed, or, you know, they're like ex-girlfriends or something like that.
There's a few people who I think I followed early on just because I thought, oh, you just say hi, boom, I'll follow you, hi, I'll follow you. Now I feel trapped because I know that they're going to know. And then I feel like I almost feel bullied.
Yeah.
I feel like why am I, it triggers the guilt emotion in me. And I'm like, why can't I?
Oh yeah. Same here. I have a couple of people like that. Well, especially since, you know, when I first started, people were like, can I get a follow? I'd be like, sure. Why not? I just made your day. And now, you know, I definitely
I don't do that.
Yeah.
You meet someone at a restaurant. Oh, he followed me. Why would I follow you? I mean, why? Just so you can say I'm following you?
Yeah. I had a guy come up to me at an event last week and give me his business card and then follow up via email about the business card and ask, you know, maybe if I wouldn't mind checking out his Twitter feed. I'm not like a Twitter executive where I'm like,
right,
you got it, kid. Like, I can't do anything for you. I can do zero.
So just some people do, like, they just don't understand. Like, hey, I'll give her my card. And then I didn't hear from her. So I won't assume she doesn't want to talk to me. I'll assume she needs a follow-up.
Yeah.
A little kick in the butt. So I'll follow-up, make her even more uncomfortable. Wow. Did you write back to him?
No.
Okay.
It's like when your parents tell you to, like, follow up after a job interview, something like that, and you're like, I can't. Like, I should wait. Like, I'll send, like, a, hey, nice to meet you thing, but I'm not going to keep following up. That's just sad. I feel like that's kind of analogous to that.
Yeah. So have you gotten emails from someone saying you unfollowed me already?
Oh, yeah.
Did I already ask that question?
Yeah. Well, oh, no. I mean, like, you asked if people called me out.
Oh, yeah.
I've gotten emails from people. I've gotten, you know, you get crazy emails. And plus, like, pretty much, like, if you type somebody's name into @gmail or @mac.com, it's, you know, you're going to get them pretty much. So I get a lot of weird emails from people who felt, like, wronged by something I said on Tumblr. Just ridiculous.
Oh, you're on Tumblr too.
I'm on Tumblr too. My Tumblr's amazing.
Let's do it. Let's take a break to do a plug for your Tumblr.
This okay,
is not, we're not taking a break, but
awesome.
What is it? Is it?
It's just boobsradley.tumblr.
Boobsradley. Okay.
Yeah, I think actually, if you go to just boobsradley.com, it either goes to my website or goes to my Tumblr.
Oh, you
all
know,
of which are linked to each other because it's, you know, that's, I'm really good at networking.
Yeah, I have a Tumblr. I have a Facebook fan page with exponentially fewer followers than, but someone told me that Facebook is actually a better place to promote stuff. Is that, have you heard that?
I think that it depends. I have like a personal page, and then I have a page that one of the interns, I write for xojane.com too, and one of the interns there set up a page for me, and was kind of like doing it in my voice for a little while, which I didn't know about. And now I think it's, no, it's fine. She's adorable. It was really cute. But,
she was writing in your, as if it was you.
Well, like, hey, like come to this thing that I'm doing on Saturday.
Or, oh,
like,
I would be mortified.
Well, yeah, except, I mean, there wasn't really anything bad, but I don't think that anybody, there were like 36 likes on that page. It was just kind of weird. So I don't find that Facebook is a huge promotional tool for me because I tried, my page is just for friends, or for like people who have 56 mutual friends with me and then request me, because then it's just like weird if I say no.
I just feel like, I always feel like there's people don't see every tweet and every Facebook. So if I'm, especially if I'm promoting like
a
tour date.
More permanent.
No, I just try to hit all angles because maybe you didn't see that tweet. Perhaps you'll see it on my Facebook fan page, or you'll be one of the lucky ones who sees it on that.
On that.
And my Facebook fan page, and my Facebook personal page, and my Tumblr, and then you'll not want to ever see me because you're so annoyed by me.
If I have like a reading or something that I'm doing in New York, I'll do that on Tumblr because I'm like, oh, these are, it's mostly New York people. That's where to do kind of my local things. But if it's a, if I want someone to read something, then definitely I'll go with Twitter because that's where I feel like I have the biggest amplification.
Yeah.
That's that.
I used to, when I was promoting tour dates, write, please retweet, and which I think helps.
Yeah.
But then I stopped doing it. I felt like, I don't know, it seemed not cool to say please retweet.
Yeah.
But I might, what's the coolest to me is selling tickets. So
yeah, that is definitely the coolest thing.
So I think I win if I sell tickets.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned Timothy Hutton,
yes,
celebrity follower.
Yes.
Who else do you have?
Who are my other celebrity followers?
Well, yeah. If you want to,
well,
pretend you don't know, you can.
No,
it's too late for that.
I mean, there are like a, there are a bunch. I mean, kind of a lot of the main ones that you would want to follow, you follow me.
Really?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, what's his face? Ashton Kutcher used to, but I don't know if he does anymore because he quit Twitter when he got divorced.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, and then he came back on, and I don't know.
That's weird, because he used to be like the king of
Twitter.
Like celebrity Twitter,
yeah.
Twitters.
And then he kind of went away for
a
while. I don't know. There are like a couple of cool people who follow me. You know, I don't want to say, because then I sound like a huge weirdo. That's why Timothy Hutton is the perfect name drop, because he has no idea that he follows me, I'm sure.
Oh, you think so?
Yes.
You know who follows me, which is one of those, is Nancy Sinatra.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's like someone says Nancy Sinatra, and I thought, wow, that's hilarious.
That's really,
and then I clicked, and it was like she follows 33,000 people.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, oh, so she hired.
That happened to me on
an 18-year-old.
Yeah, on Saturday
to just
night.
Go on a rampage of
exactly,
following people.
Exactly. I was at a party and I got like a little notification that was like, Sam Neill is now following you. And I was like, holy shit, this is a, oops, sorry, can we swear on your podcast?
Yeah, you can say shit.
Shit. Awesome. Okay. So that, I got really excited. And then, of course, when I went home, he's not only probably follows more people than follow him, he's got like a winery. So I think his Twitter account is mostly to promote his vineyard.
I forgot who Sam Neill is.
He's Dr. Grant in Jurassic Park. He was in the Omen films. Well, the later Omen films.
I don't feel bad that I don't know who that is.
Sam Neill? It's kind of
I probably do know who he is. No, I don't mean that in
a
like...
I think A Cry in the Dark, the Baby at Dingo Ate Your Baby, that movie. He's a very popular Australian.
No, I'm sure he's very successful. I'm sure he's very successful. I'm not.
But now you don't feel.
The lid on him, and I'm just like, well, maybe I don't remember everyone in Jurassic Park.
Oh.
I was forgiving myself, yet still showing respect for Sam Neill. I think I do know who Sam Neill is.
Yeah, he's great.
I noticed you. Now, I noticed you follow a lot of people.
Well, that's okay.
Like
3,700
people.
I follow 3,700 people because. A lot of it, when I started out, you know, I was like, what a great source for news. So I'll follow, you know, websites that I like. Or, you know, just a lot of times I really have no idea why I followed somebody. Just kind of, if you think about the rate, if I've been on Twitter for 4 years, 4 years now, like the rate at which you follow people, I really try not to unfollow people ever. So I've got things like, you know, I'll follow New York Magazine or, you know, a band that I liked or something.
I think they should do some, like, a tiered following. Like, you know, where, like, I'll follow this person, but I don't kind of care.
I have a list of, it's actually only probably, like, 300 people.
See, I started making lists, but yeah. I just was like, oh, this is just
that's
a lot of work.
The only way that I can keep up with it.
So you just click on your A-plus list?
Yes, my A. It's actually
What's
called,
it called?
It's,
what is it called?
It's, I think it's something, like, just I called it like private or something like that because it's a private, you know, it's a private list. I don't want people to know who my VIPs are.
Now, I think my first discovery of you, I had this memory. I don't remember the order, but I remember reading like a New York Magazine article about either people bring kids to bars.
Oh yeah,
is that possible?
Yes.
Somehow,
yeah.
Either I read the article first and I was like, I know that name. I looked something up and realized you were following me.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy. Because it was you had a funny quote, which I don't remember.
It's
been a long time ago. I've been reading a lot of quotes.
That was a really... I actually just published a piece about that today, about how at one of my first jobs, we did all these like stupid internet videos. And one of them that got really popular because it was posted on a bunch of parenting sites and then CNN picked it up was a video of me talking about how I don't like to hold kids. So then I got that job about babies in bars because I became this like go-to child hater on the internet when I don't hate children.
Was that the article I saw? Because this was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, this was like 3 years ago.
Okay.
This was a long time ago, but they asked me to write that piece and I wasn't going to turn it down because, you know, it was work, but then, you know, you get assigned something and basically they tell you to write about how much you hate babies in bars. Just fine.
Well, I think baby, you shouldn't bring a baby to a bar.
You shouldn't bring a baby to a bar. Really
people
shouldn't.
Bring, there's this whole sort of rock parent kind of person that I fucking hate.
Yeah, me too.
They bring them to like, I do, you know, occasional outdoor music festival and you see these people like dragging the kid around who's putting them right next to the speakers.
Yeah.
And it's like the kids, I've seen kids like holding their ears.
Yeah.
And you're like, You're you know why your kid's holding his ears, right? Because he's in physical pain. Because this band plays extremely loud. And he's a little kid, and he probably doesn't even like this band. And you're actually injuring. Injuring your kid.
I've seen cool dads at concerts before, and that's like the one kind of bad taking your kids to things. And then like you know if you're in a horror movie and there's like a 2-year-old, that's always the worst feeling because you know that kid is just going to be scarred for life.
I don't even care about the. I mean, I do care about the kid, but I care more about the.
What about your personal comfort?
But I just, no, I do. I mean, that's, it's never the kid's fault that, that the father brought him to a poetry reading or something.
That's terrible.
It's you can't get mad for like why are you acting like a baby when you are a baby. But the people who don't get me started.
No, my parents took me to a Weird Al concert when I was 4, though. So
but that's more of a kid friendly. I mean, that's a little
super kid friendly.
That's more all ages.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not necessarily for kids, but it's an all ages-y vibe. Do we want to talk about this Rihanna plane? I feel like you must have talked about that.
Yeah.
All right.
If there's anything you want to know, anything that wasn't.
The research, I know you a little off podcast, I know you, but I did watch it, not one, but 2-part interview you did for a live talk show at an improv theater.
Oh, really?
So if there's any crossover questions, I don't want
to. Oh, jeez. I don't even know what that was. That
it was what was it? It was at the Pit. I've done the show, too. Nice guys.
That,
I forgot what it's called.
Oh, it's Running Late?
You're Running Late.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's a fun show.
Yeah, it is. Is that the one where he does it with his dad?
Yeah, his dad.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah,
his dad wasn't there my week, so his aunt and uncle sat in, which was cool, too. That was a lot of fun.
Hey, enough about that guy, though.
Yeah, no, that's a different podcast.
So you went on this Rihanna plane, which was, if I'm correct, a promotional thing for her where she just did a tour and brought 100 reporters on a plane with her, and it turned out to be a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, it just was. I mean, you can't really wrangle that many people and, you know, your entourage, and she's not the most punctual person. Like, if she needed an extra hour, she wouldn't tell you. She would just take it, basically. So yeah. she wouldn't text ahead of time, like I'm running late.
She didn't text you?
No.
So you're saying you don't have Rihanna's cell number?
I don't. Sadly not. But no, it got kind of crazy. And my sister kind of made fun of me a lot and was like, oh, I had to be on an airplane with a celebrity and go to Paris, and I feel terrible for you. But there is a weird thing when you're on a plane for more than 2 days.
Well, when you have, I guess if you're on a plane and Rihanna's in charge of when you take off or not,
yes,
there's a big
Captain
difference,
Rihanna.
You know? Like, you fly British Airways or Air France.
Yeah.
I don't have to name all these airlines, but
KLM.
They're going to probably leave on time unless there's a problem.
Yeah.
But if Rihanna gets to call the shots and she's just,
then it's just
shopping
another,
or something,
yeah,
or calling Chris Brown to
yeah,
have a great conversation with him.
Yeah.
Did he show up at all?
No, he didn't. I mean, not that we knew of.
Did you want to take her aside and go, really? Come on.
That's what everybody said.
I know. Is that, is that a question then?
Well,
it's a hack question I asked you.
No. Just that was kind of the discussion among the journalists that, should somebody have an intervention? Should we try to save her while we're here?
Oh.
She seems like she needs saving.
So at first, though, it seemed like a fun thing where she was like, I'm making you shots.
Yeah.
Because I saw pictures where she was passing drinks around. Was that just a photo op, or was she?
No, that was literally like the one time that we saw her, aside from the shows. That was kind of like when she came back. She came back at the very, very end. But there was a documentary that they were making, which is actually going to air soon, which I'm terrified to see. Because, they were like taping us sleeping and things like
that,
which is, I look amazing when I sleep, obviously.
You do, I bet.
It was just kind of a weird, all around experience. But it was fun. I actually, if somebody asked me if I would do it again, I would, because I found out that they have amazing breakfast in Sweden. And now I know that. That's like,
I've toured Sweden.
Have you?
Yeah, you could just buy a ticket to Sweden, and just...
That's true.
Eat breakfast and eat it when you want.
But I wouldn't know how amazing the breakfast is there. That's the first time I've ever been to Sweden.
What cities did you go to?
We started Los Angeles, Mexico City, Paris, Stockholm, Berlin, London, and then New York was the last city.
How did you get chosen for this?
I'm a well-respected journalist.
Oh, I know that.
No, I know. I really think that it was just... I have a lot of Twitter followers. I don't know. This website called Popdust just randomly contacted me and asked if I wanted to go for them. So
that's great.
Yeah. That's, it's used to be, Craig Marks who wrote that. I want my MTV book. So, and I'm tangentially friends with Rob Tannenbaum.
I know Rob Tannenbaum.
The worst person alive. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I love Rob.
Okay.
He's just, we neg each other on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Cause you don't seem like someone who would openly trash someone.
Oh no.
No, I know Rob. He's a good guy.
Yeah. He's a great guy. He's wonderful. I love him.
Do you, how are the hotels?
The hotels, well, that was kind of the funny thing. The hotels are pretty nice.
They didn't make you share rooms, did they?
No.
Okay.
No, that was great. And actually, my hotel room in London was amazing. And
that's something you don't hear very often. My hotel room in London was amazing.
Is London known for shitty hotels?
You know what it is? So let me just clarify it to all my UK fans.
Uh-huh.
It's just that everything, like their 3-star hotel, you might consider 2-star hotel there.
No.
Like, I've been there, like, even within the past 6 years, and you go to a little hotel, like a quaint hotel, and you're like, oh, what's the login for the internet? Oh, we don't have internet.
Yeah.
You don't have internet.
That's happened many times. I think I paid.
But then I've stayed at really nice hotels.
Yeah.
I love London. It's one of my favorite cities, by the way.
Great.
Can't wait to come back.
Yeah.
Seriously. So your hotel was amazing?
Yeah, my hotel was really nice.
What was the name of it? Was it the Charlotte Street Hotel?
No, but I was just there, oddly enough. I was in London like 2 weeks ago.
I just remember that was a night. I was like, I would like to stay.
Yeah, that place is really nice. I've been to the Teen Street Hotel, which is nice. The Soho Hotel is nice. But the one that we stayed for the Rihanna plane was, I'm going to say it wrong. It was Grosvenor Square.
Okay.
It was the Grosvenor Square Hotel.
That's like an old school hotel, right?
It is. And the tub was like the biggest bathtub I've ever seen in my entire life. It's horrifying. I mean, like in a great way.
Right.
But, so we all, and that was like the very, very end of the tour. And we ended up getting the hotel room, I think, from about 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. So we had that time to just kind of kick it.
Oh, so you were in each city for just a night?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Sometimes less than that. Sometimes we just slept on the plane. And I was in the row that didn't recline. So if we had to sleep on the plane...
So you had the same assigned seat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used my photographer as a pillow, basically. It was really...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird that they assigned you a seat, or did you pick a seat?
They assigned us seats.
And was it a full flight?
Oh, yeah.
Did they say, this is going to be a full flight, so everyone, please.
I wish they had done that.
And there were flight attendants? And
yeah, the flight attendants were amazing.
Was it a private jet, or was it like a British Airways?
It was Delta. It was a 777. And it was the flight attendants, the staff, were the most patient, amazing, wonderful.
So, yeah.
The flight crew.
Was it Delta flight crew? Or
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who sat, like, in first class and business class?
Her entourage. They were on kind of the...
And she was on the plane?
Mm-hmm. She was on the plane.
But you couldn't walk up to her seat or anything?
I mean, I guess you could if you wanted to.
But there's like 80 guys who are like,
well,
Rihanna does not want to see
you. Well, I think that we all were... It's a bunch of journalists, so we're all like nerds. And I think we all are kind of conscious of the fact that she wanted to sleep and
right.
stuff as much as we did. I think you technically could have gone up to her, but...
Right.
Why would you
bother?
Yeah.
Did you actually meet her?
No.
So you didn't meet her?
No. I mean, she came by and poured champagne and some kind of cognac, and that was kind of good.
And there were how many journalists?
I think it was 100, 150 maybe.
Because that sounds tiring, even if she wasn't late.
Yeah.
And then just 9 cities in 9 days, even on a private jet would be, I mean, sure, it's
exhausting.
It's exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
So all you people at home who work like... jobs. We work 60 hours a week. No, I know. I felt bad. That's saying how tiring. But it would be just, it's like, great job. I'm really glad I got it, but it's tiring.
Mm-hmm.
You guys don't know what it's like to be in showbiz. It's not as romantic as you think. So are there any other you went to, well, let me ask you this.
Sure.
You went to Bennington College, right?
I did go to Bennington
Wasn't
College.
That the... At some point, the most expensive school?
It was. That was back in the days when Brett Easton Ellis and Donna Tartt were there, and it was kind of that kind of height of 80s.
Did he teach there, Brett Easton Ellis?
No, he just went there.
He went there?
Yeah. Actually, the Rules of Attraction takes place at Bennington.
And was Bennington, it wasn't a woman's school, was it?
It was up until, I think, like the 60s. Yeah. So, but it's really small. It's when I was there, I think it was 500 kids. So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really, really tiny.
And you majored in English?
Yeah.
Or was it one of those no major?
It was kind of one of those no majors, but I started out studying science, and then I went to English and kind of literature, that sort of thing, because I'm actually crap at science. Who knew?
What, So it was a good school, though?
Yeah, I liked it. I had a great time there. I had some really amazing professors, and it was, you know, it was fun to go to school in the mountains where there's literally nothing to do at all.
I actually, years ago, went on a vacation to Bennington, Vermont.
Really?
For some reason, it was just my parents used to pick. That was like a Barry vacation where they would just pick a city and you're like,
history buffs?
I don't know how they picked it.
Okay. Because there's some Revolutionary War that's like Ethan Allen and the Green Mountain Boys. There's a Battle of Bennington.
We went to visit the Green Mountain Boys.
Yeah.
That's how long ago this vacation was. Did you ever think of getting a master's degree?
No. I actually am not a great student.
No, I was a terrible student.
Yeah. It was for somebody whose job is basically like homework now. Like, I like write essays for a living, basically. I hated doing that in school.
Is that your goal? I hate to ask people their goals. That's the worst question. You know?
No, I don't know.
I'm not going to edit this, but if someone wants to edit that up. But I mean, what do you really want to do?
I get that question all the time.
Oh, no, I get that too. It's like,
what do you really want to do?
Yeah,
I'm doing it?
Yeah, you're like, I guess the show I just did for 500 people.
That was pretty awesome.
Do you have a better job I could do?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that there's like a weird expectation that either you've got like a strange dream job, like I want to move to the country and make cheese, like that kind of, I don't know if that's a thing.
Look, it's on my list of questions.
Is it really?
Look at the last question.
Dream job.
It says dream job.
Dream job.
But what are some other things you'd like? You like being a journalist?
I love being a journalist. I don't know. I'm working on some book stuff, obviously. I would love to do some other kinds of writing, you know. Like,
would you like to write a script or something?
I have written a script. I've written a couple of scripts.
A screenplay?
Mm-hmm.
Have you showed them to people?
Pilot. Yeah, I have. Yeah.
How's it? Anything?
Well, yeah.
Anything we could talk about?
I don't know. There's nothing that I can be like, oh, this is coming up. But I've got stuff in the works, which is exciting. Going out to LA next week, so that should be good.
What's going on there? You can't talk about it.
I'm visiting some friends and just going to go on some meetings. Mm-hmm.
I need to know where those meetings are.
I don't know. I'll tell you when we're off the public radio.
So would you like to? So you just a career in writing? Do you want to be on camera?
No. That's the funniest thing that I have been on the Today Show, and I've done some. I get asked to do like sketch video stuff a lot. And I don't know. I really am not comfortable on camera at all. And I'm.
Hey, I saw you on that that YouTube improv theater talk show. You seem fun.
Oh, thanks. That's that was all a ruse. No, I feel really, really weird being on camera. And I actually randomly got contacted by this casting agent to go in and read for a sitcom. And it was the weirdest experience of my entire life because I'm not an actor and I've never been. And, I don't know. It was very, very strange.
Did, you get, I imagine being out there like on Twitter and also being accessible, having probably easy to contact.
Very easy to contact.
Do you must get just terrible?
Crazy.
Do you get like, will you write a speech because I want to ask my wife to marry me or something like that?
Oh, my God. I've never gotten that. That would be amazing.
I mean, do you ever get stuff that's just like, are you serious? Like, do you get offers that you turn down?
Oh, yeah. Oh, completely. I've gotten a bunch of people who are, like, paid to tweet services. And then just kind of a couple of... I love to write, and I am doing what I love, and it's fantastic. But I have gotten a couple of, hey, I've got this cool opportunity for you to write for my website. And it's like, you know that this is my job, but thank you. Cool.
Oh yeah, that's a huge joy of mine, is the three paragraph proposition that doesn't mention money at all.
Yeah.
You just gotta write back, hey,
really,
this sounds great, what does it pay?
Yeah.
And then they write back, we're starting, bye.
Yeah. Or it's great exposure for you.
Well, the exposure's the classic.
Yeah, exposure's incredible.
It's a classic way that I rip people off. My 10-team writing staff, made up of all Harvard.
The only question that I get a lot that I really, it's terrible, but I have kind of like a stock email that I use when people are like, hey, like, how do I do what you're doing? Like, I either like want to get a bunch of Twitter followers, which I cannot tell you how to do that. I have zero idea. Or like, how do I like be a sex writer or something like that? And I just, it's one of those jobs where there's not like a trajectory that you can go on, and so that's just
great. Some people, it's the same with comedy where you kind of just want to go, you kind of just got to do it.
Yeah.
And they don't, sometimes they'll be accepting of that, but sometimes they're like, no, you're supposed to like give them some little answer, like,
yeah,
here's what you do.
Which my friend was like, just tell them be talented. Because like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be that guy who emails somebody back, just be talented.
You just gotta find a lengthy way to just say just write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to go, just write as much as possible, but you got to fluff it up, but basically just be saying, just write.
Yeah.
Do you get people asking you like, hey, I got a web series, will you?
Yes.
Well, how do you deal with that? Because I get that sometimes, and I almost always, unless it's like a good friend, in a book or something.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like, I've met you once, and you're like, hey, can you help us out? Really could use your help. I'm sorry.
That's the most awkward thing, because
it's just wrong to ask someone that.
I don't want to. I feel like I'm coming off like a huge asshole on this podcast, but I'm really nice. I swear to God,
you are nice.
Oh, thank you. I think that if it's somebody who's a good friend, I'm happy to promote somebody's book or somebody's show, anything like that, once a day, because otherwise people will hate you. I mean,
I don't even think one. I think that's too much.
Once a day.
I mean, just like one time.
Oh no, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
one
yeah.
time. If but not like I wouldn't say like, hey, Todd Barry's got a show coming up, and then like, hey, this other person has this thing that you should check out because people
right
be irritated and ignore you. But and then if it's somebody who I have no idea who they are, and they're like, hey, can I get an RT for this Kickstarter project I'm working on? No, because I have no idea who you are. The worst ones are the people that you know you've met once or twice. Or you have a mutual friend, so saying no or ignoring them would be bad, but also you just don't care enough about them or their
it's just
project.
Like, I don't, like, it's not Craigslist, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, hey, you got all these followers, why don't I,
yeah.
This could really help me out. No one helped me out.
You have to go through
No one helped me out, man. I'm still struggling.
So if you want me to retweet something of yours, you must first befriend me and hang out with me many times, and then
you'll plug this appearance, though, right?
Yeah, totally.
Which I'm going to cut down to 4 minutes. Just just that part where you were embarrassed, where you thought came across mean.
Yes,
I'm going to edit that so deftly. Yeah, deftly that just really makes you look even meaner.
Make it a total hatchet job. Just do it
and
bring out the worst.
This is a classic smear campaign. Ponzi. It's a Ponzi scheme, also.
I know
it's not a Ponzi scheme. Do you watch American Greed? That's the greatest show.
Mm-mm.
You don't watch American Greed?
No, what is it?
It's all about just white collar criminals and Ponzi schemes. It's great.
On?
I think it's A&E.
No, that's
Do you have cable?
Amazing. Yeah, I have cable.
Yeah, yeah. Look it up. American mm-hmm. Greed.
Yeah, fancy.
Julianne, I think my goal with this podcast is to not want to have one of these like why are they talking for 6 hours podcasts. I don't know if there's any 6 hour podcast, but I've enjoyed this. I've asked all the pertinent questions.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if I had good questions, but it seems to have flown.
I think you nailed it.
Flowed and flown. Is there anything you want to mention?
No, I'm like, not. I have no. I'm not working on anything of interest. Just if you want to, you can visit my Twitter and follow me.
Boobs Radley, which Radley. This is funny.
Mm-hmm.
We'll close with this. I have an English degree. And I think I looked at your site for like 3 years before I made the connection between Boo Radley and Boobs Radley.
That's, I can't believe you're still admitting that. That's really.
Well, it makes me seem like self-deprecating.
Yeah, it does.
When I'm not.
It makes you more accessible, I think.
Makes me seem really approachable.
It does.
Thanks a lot, Julia.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Todd.
Thanks for listening to the Todd Barry Podcast. I hope you enjoyed that. Follow me on Twitter at Todd Barry, toddbarry.com. I have some tour dates coming up. May 26th, I'll be at the Green Mountain Comedy Festival in Burlington, Vermont. July 11th through 14th, I'll be in New York City at Caroline's. You can save $10 with code TODDB for the Thursday and the Sunday shows. Substantial savings. And check my website for other shows that will be added. Also, go to feralaudio.com for this podcast and lots of other good podcasts. And you can donate to the podcasts and listen to them. Chelsea Peretti's got a good one. Steve Agee has one that I haven't listened to yet, but I bet it's good. Anyway, Duncan Trussell, yeah. Him, he's got one. There's a bunch of other people. Feralaudio.com. Thank you.
Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.